We thought we'd begin this afternoon just by seeing if there are any questions.
So we have some written questions which we'll respond to, but just seeing if there's any. Want to raise in the room first? Anything you'd like to ask? Okay. That's fine. So I got this question yesterday, I think, and I think we've been answering it somewhat indirectly, both of us, Arjun and I, but I'll just read it out and we can see if we want to respond to it any more. Yeah. Someone was saying to me, it was very helpful when you spoke of identifying and meeting the underlying needs around jealousy. Could you please speak more of ways in which the Brahma Viharas, those qualities of love we've been talking about, help to handle perceived rejection? And how to meet the need of belonging in oneself? Is it possible to do this for yourself by cultivating these qualities? In my own practice, I found it very helpful. So in a way, I have an attunement to when I'm following, not wanting. So it can be quite subtle and quite plausible. And this is a balance between feeling the capacity and in the moment to be with something that triggers some not wanting or aversion in us. It might be a feeling, or it might be something external like cold weather, cold feeling or pain. And we're hardwired to move away from unpleasant feeling. But because we are hardwired, we also grow certain patterns of I don't like this without actually checking, is this really something I can't be with right now? Because every time we follow that feeling of I don't want this and move towards what we do want, it kind of builds a way in which our world gets a little narrower. So I can give you an example of this. So it's also not judging the not wanting, it's just recognizing it's just the way the mind moves because it's used to moving that way. It's actually natural. I was, so this is quite a few years ago, when I was a nun at the monastery we used to live in together, Amravati. And I was doing some walking meditation one evening. So we'd had our evening practice and I decided to go outside. And if you've ever been to Amravati, it's a beautiful monastery, it's on top of a hill in Hertfordshire. And it's behind the main body of the monastic buildings is a big field, big open space on top of this hill. And they've changed it now, but there used to be a white stupa in the middle of this field that the the monks and nuns built at the very beginning. So a stupa is like a chedi, and you put sacred relics in it shaped like this. It had a Buddha at the four sides. And they built it out of, it had sort of umbrellas at the top, and they built it out of saucepans and things like this. And it's a beautiful, such a beautiful, beautiful thing. So I was doing walking meditation up and down by this stupa in the middle of this big field. I haven't got my coat, just got my robes on, like Ajahn was wearing, and after a while it started to rain. And I had this automatic urge, which, no judgment if you came in from the rain yesterday. Just automatic urge. I think I'll go in now. And because I'd been meditating early in the evening, I felt a bit settled. I just noticed the urge. It's the automatic, like, bum gets pressed, off I go. And I just decided, well, maybe I can be curious about this urge rather than following it. And I just paused, I just stood. I just felt this contraction against the rain and the cold. And just felt this feeling of aversion and contraction, and I don't want this. And I want to get away from this, actually. And I just felt my capacity to make space for that feeling. Allow it, not try to correct it. And it only really relaxes when there's, that's really, I mean it. I mean I'm not trying to change it. So I'm just checking my attitude. Am I being with this in order for it to stop or change? And just by asking the question, something opens a little more to this experience in the moment. Unpleasant feeling and contraction against that unpleasant feeling. After time, I had just opened. It was just there, it was raining, a bit cold. Not able to not be pulling away from it. Just meeting it. It doesn't have to be 100%. And then I just started walking up and down. Just walking, meditation. And after a while, I noticed I'd been lost in a fantasy. I'd been dreaming. And what I'd been dreaming of was being in my room, having a hot drink. So even though I hadn't gone there physically, my mind had still won and got there, got me there. And when I noticed that, I noticed I'd been daydreaming, back with where I was, and I noticed the rain felt worse, even worse than before. And something in me was just curious. Yeah, it's the same rain as 10 minutes ago, but actually right now it feels worse. And I saw the relationship between following the habit of my mind that something was unpleasant and aversive affected my experience of it as something unpleasant. We think it's about the object, but there is to a degree, but there is also how our senses contact that object through our conditioning. And in that moment I felt a raindrop fall on my cheek. And as it ran down my cheek, it was cold at the top, and as it ran down, it warmed up. I just felt joy with this imminent connection with the rain. We can't make that happen, but we can see the practice, it sort of has this orientation, it's more about what we don't follow rather than what we do try to make happen. So it's the relationship to learning about how craving operates in our mind without making craving something bad or wrong. It's just nature. Just seeing nature. So being curious about, so in that sense, the Brahma Vihara is letting something be as it is, that's metta. It includes whatever experience we're having. And then compassion is what allows us to feel into our experience a little more fully. And appreciation is something more like a appreciation, equanimity there, more like things that arise. They just arise. They're like gifts. We'll talk more about those. So I hope that answers that question a bit.
Can I add a little something?
Please do, yeah, please do.
Thank you. Now really appreciate hearing that, and that's really nice. Because there are so many different ways in which we can sort of approach a situation like that. You know, it's not just one way, there's many different starting points we could take. What struck me in the question when you read it out, and I think I read it yesterday as well, I thought already in the question it was quite insightful. It's like, what is the underlying need? What's the underlying thing which is feeding or behind the feeling which has arisen? So in the case of the question, it was about jealousy. What's the underlying need about belonging or something? That was what it is. What is said? I think there's something important to recognise also, that it's not like all needs are bad and evil. No, we need, they all have, if you like, consequences, but there are wholesome needs. You could say, the need to wake up. I don't just mean waking up when we're asleep. I mean the need to awaken to life. The need for safety. The need for care. The need to love. And these are sort of like fundamental human qualities, qualities of a heart which is free, metta. So it's a need, something we need to be able to do, to express, or to know, to feel. So, like in the example Laura just gave, you go out in the evening, maybe it's a bit chilly, and you're outside and it's cold and it starts to rain. So the sort of a natural process could be starting to rain, I'm going to get wet and cold, maybe I'm going to catch a cold, I'm going to get ill, I'd rather not get ill. That would be my process. You know, particularly when you've got a shaven head, it's quite easy to catch a cold. So, but I still know that as well. It's like, I've got a sort of aversion to the cold and the wet. But like Laura, sometimes if I, actually it's not cold this evening, it's only a little bit of damp, and actually probably a couple of minutes, it'll be okay. And so it's like a reflex has come up about, oh, am I getting ill? So it's worry, am I getting ill? So it's a protective urge. You say that's the wholesome side of it, something to protect. But is it really quite accurate at the moment? And maybe there's another need in this moment, a need to calm down, be at ease. I mean, that's a deeper need, or a parallel need, I'm not sure. And so often when we recognise what's the underlying thing which is driving us, and certainly we recognise, no, this is something that's wholesome and okay. Often in that moment, just that much, there is a certain amount of relief. It's like, oh, it's this. This is what's pushing this along. This is what's keeping this going. Because when we see it, recognize it, it's like, that's meeting it, isn't it? It's like going up to it and shaking my hand, saying, hello, oh, hello, nice to meet you again. Thank you, protective instinct. Popping up to let me know that there's a possibility that perhaps I could get ill here. Thank you for reminding me. But actually, I think actually I'll be all right for a little while. It gives us more choice then. When we recognise more the fundamental need, what it is, we have a bit more choice. Is that something I really need? If that is something I really need, perhaps in that moment, just in the recognition, we're already kind of allowing ourselves to. No, actually, no, it's safe. You know, protective instinct comes up to say maybe there's danger here, something, there's a risk. But we recognise, I think this is safe, it's okay. So, it's already been met. It's okay. But I have a choice. Could go inside, could get an umbrella, could put a hat on, could go and walk somewhere else indoors.
Thank you.
So I think the question was about, can we do this for ourselves with the pranaviharas? Mm-hmm. So I'd say, well, of course it's possible.
Yeah.
Yes, why not? And with discernment, wisdom as well, mindfulness, wisdom, compassion, equanimity, kindness, and many qualities of heart which can come forth, which will just help us to recognize and meet, you know, the different situations which arise in our lives, and, you know, the different little monsters which pop out and scare us, fool us.
I really appreciate you having added that, because I realise when I share that story, it can be possible that people take the position I just should endure. And I think what we both want to encourage, at least why I want to encourage, is more the inner listening. And to really not feel the practice has to look a particular way. It could be equally responsive to go in and have a warm drink. It's more the listening. So I really appreciate you having added that. Thank you. We're doing for time. There's one more question. One more question, and then I'll sit. And feel free to stretch, actually, if you want to change your posture. Just do. I'm just hesitating because I'm wondering whether we should, might be more helpful to just meditate right now. And then I think let's meditate, and we'll respond to these questions either later this afternoon or this evening. And silence it for
25 minutes.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.